Talk Shoes.
Recorded live.
Right. Welcome, everyone. This is week 5 of God Chat. Last week, we continued our conversation about God's character in God Chat, and we spoke about how all God asks is trust. And so this week, we're going to continue on that topic because I remember that a lot of us had a lot of comments and suggestions, and we struggled with that for a while, and we went through a lot of Bible verses, and we went through a lot of the original words used in the Bible verses for faith and trust and belief, and how all of them pretty much meant the same thing, and how the only way for us to be able to trust somebody is if we know them. And so this week we're going to continue to study about God and how he plans to restore our trust. Some of the things that we're going to venture through is to see through the Bible and through various examples that God actually wants us to go through this evidence, and he wants us to have evidence before we actually have faith in him. He doesn't want us to have this blind kind of faith that is unintelligent, because he made us intelligent beings. So he really does want us to have a relationship with him, and he wants us to be able to analyze all this evidence that he's left behind in the Bible through all these different stories. And that's what we're going to start studying more about today, how God wants to restore trust in the universe. As we've been studying also, there has been a war that has started, and for the angels in heaven, we don't know how long this war has been going on, but for us here on Earth, it's been, how long we've creationists say that the Earth has been around.
What?
Yes. How long has the Earth been around, according to creationists?
Oh, more than 2,000 years.
2,000 years since Jesus, correct?
Actually, no. More than 2,000.
What?
Yeah, 2,000 before Jesus Christ and 2,000 after, but it's about Adam and Eve, not about Earth. We don't know about it.
Right, but since God created man and all of that, it's about, 4 to 6,000 years, right?
Some scholars say no more than 10,000
years.
So
for us, this war has started ever since Adam and Eve believed a lie. But for all of the other heavenly beings, this has been going on for way longer. But a little over 2,000 years ago, for them, the angels that still trust God and that are still with him, this war has ended because they finally decided and saw proof and evidence that what? That God's character can be trusted. And that's the things that we've been studying in the past week, correct? Right. So these heavenly beings, they get the chance to be with God and to experience God's power and to see him face to face every day. And a lot of times the argument is, okay, so they have all this evidence and they get to see God's awesome power, you know? So it's easier for them to believe and trust this being that they see face to face like another human being, right? It's easier for us to have a relationship with somebody that's right beside you, that you can touch, that you can, you know, talk to face to face and look them in the eye. And, you know, these heavenly beings, supposedly they have that, but we don't. So how are we supposed to trust this being if we don't really see him?
That's a good question, because it's so difficult.
How can we start establishing a relationship with a being that we don't see?
I believe that it's heaven of angels. Heaven is the union of before they had the team, they were with God, and they had a relationship like angels. But we are not. No.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe we don't. Today we don't believe just in things that we see. We believe in a lot of things that we just feel.
That we
feel. Don't really see. Mm-hmm. People that in pain, they don't see it. It's quite exactly like that. But you feel pain. So you believe that.
Like this, you don't see the glass.
There we go. Again, we come to the trust and believing that we've been talking about since last week. Now, if we think about in the Bible, from the stories sometimes that we read, you know, you hear a lot of talk about, you know, the people of Israel, that we've been kind of following up with them a little bit, and Moses, and how he had a relationship with God face to face, and he had, you know, the opportunity, like Abraham had also in the past, to talk to God and have him there showing his power, very real. So let's say that today God came to us in this room. He's right here in front of us. And we're going to ask him anything we want. Okay? We're going to ask God, hey God, so why is this war still going on, apparently? Or why are we still suffering the consequences of this? Are you somebody that's fair? Are you going to restore trust with us? Are you going to answer our questions? He says yes. So are we gonna die if we sin? He says okay, yeah, sure. And we keep asking him questions, and all of a sudden he gets angry, like a lot of the times that we, you know, hear in the Bible of the Old Testament. And then he starts making thunder and lightning, and all of this stuff happens, and we're like, whoa, yeah, God, you're real. You are real, because, like, you have lots of power right there. So, let's talk to you in the first place. Hold on.
Yep.
Okay. So let's keep going. And, okay, so we've had an experience. We've seen God face to face. We've asked him the questions we wanted to. And we saw his power. And all he's answered is no, I'm a good person. Yes, these things that I said that will happen, they will happen. And we leave. And we're like, yeah, I believe in God now. I see that he's real. I see he has lots of power. But are we going to trust him to keep his promises because he has lots of power and that he was just here answering our questions? Are we going to believe his word just from that experience?
I don't think so. Sometimes you don't believe in someone that has a lot of power, like some government or some authority. They have power, but you don't trust them. That test. And
yeah.
Trust is not related to power.
Exactly. And that's just what happened to
Ebony.
Let's go back to a couple of verses that we went through. Who has James 2:19.
Do you believe that there is only one God? Good. The demons also believe and tremble with fear.
Okay. Who has Revelation 12:12? So Revelation goes on to say, hey, the devil believes in God because he knows his power, and he knows he only has a little bit of time left to create chaos and doubt. So let's go back to the Tower of Babel. What happened after the flood? Because, you know, God became really angry with all the people on earth, right? And they just didn't believe in him anymore, or if they did, you know, they were just doing whatever they wanted, and God became angry, and he said, I can't have this any longer, and so he just protected Noah and his son who believed in God. Let's read Genesis 9:8, 11-13, and 11:1-4. Who has that?
God said to Noah and his sons, I promise that never again will all living things be destroyed by the flood. As a sign of this everlasting covenant, which I am making with you and with all living things, I am putting my vow in the promise. At first, the people of the whole world had only one language. They said to one another, now let's build a city with a tower that reaches the sky.
So, in this situation, you know, Noah and his sons had complete trust in God because they saw the power of God. They heard, you know, God's message, you're all these signs. But later on, you know, still after the sign of, you know, the rainbow that was put in the sky and, hey, I'm not going to destroy you any longer, that was God's promise to them. After a while, they didn't believe it anymore. They didn't trust God to keep his promise. And so what did they do? No, they started building right. They started not believing in him. And why do you guys think that happened?
Why our relationship here in earth? Because, like, friendship is just able to be strong and to be, like, good when you are close to that person. Like boyfriend and girlfriend, the same thing. If you are far, a long time, it's so hard to have that strong relationship. Wife and so it's difficult. And I see that with God also. We have a miracle, we have a blessing, and we think, God, about God. We are busy in talking to God, so here together, we are talking about God. So we are having a relationship. But when we are doing another thing, you know, not thinking about God, I think we forget, and then we start doing another thing. So, our relationship with God gets a little weak.
This happened when they were building the tower. They believed in God. This is why they were building the tower. They believed that God sent the flood and maybe it's going to happen again. But they didn't trust in his word saying it's never going to happen again. They believed that God exists. God is there. He has power. But we don't trust in him. Saying that it's going to be okay now. Maybe it's going to happen again.
It's not because they don't trust God anymore. I think they stop being the same level as a strong relationship because they put their attention in something else, like us.
But for me, belief is totally different than trust. Because I don't really need to trust in someone to believe that person exists, or that person can do something. But I don't give my house key for someone that I don't trust. And do I believe?
No, but with God, I don't know. So I have read that they tried to build the stone on the floor. Now they love by themselves for why they have that stone.
Mm-hmm.
If he ain't there, they expect him there, they spoke to be his God, and they try to point out why he spoke to him. So they try to go to the skies, they call, see what goes on there. Why? Why not?
But that is to happen with the human beings. We try to find a way, pure, the way to discover things, to have better life. It's always that, right? Why? Because we stop trusting God, or is that?
Well, I don't care about people doing what they know, but it says that God came in. And God stopped their work and he gave them a language computer. So he didn't want to go more and more.
And I believe too that they were looking to God and thinking, this gives God. God is this way. So the way they were seeing God was that someone has power, someone has can send another very big man. Something can happen, and we are not able to receive the blessing because we are not okay. We are nothing that we want. We are far away from Him. He is very powerful. So the way they see God was the reason they do this power.
Well, that explanation I gave you is just one explanation. But we know that at that time they did a lot of power.
And to worship.
Yes.
To worship.
Babel was the most famous power.
So, but what we're finding out is that all these people, they made these monuments and towers out of more of a fear because they knew of the power, but they didn't know of the character behind the power. Now, right? Do you guys agree with me? You disagree?
Yeah, they have fear.
They had fear, but they didn't have trust.
Yes.
So nowadays, when you walk into any church or when you talk about religion, the first thing they ask you to do is to have faith. And faith, as we've been kind of looking at it and what we've been discussing back and forth, is that it's been misrepresented and misinterpreted in some ways because... Why?
Yes, that's true. It's a good understanding of faith.
People, you know, when you walk into a church, for example, always what you hear a lot of times being preached is, you know, have faith. This is who God is. We're going to show you. This is who God is right here. We're showing you right now. It's the first time you walk into the church, but here's who God is, so you need to trust Him, okay? That's all that matters. He's powerful. You need to trust Him. He died for you. You need to trust Him.
But it's not that we God wants us.
Right, right. But do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you see that? I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but I've seen this done over and over again. So a lot of people that are from outside, or even the ones that, you know, have been in church for a while and they haven't experienced it themselves. And I speak from personal experience because I grew up in church. You know, you go and they're always telling you, you know, you have to trust this being. He's all powerful. He is forgiving you. And so that's, you should be thankful that you're not dead. So that's why you should trust Him. He can do whatever He wants with this universe. Trust Him. He's letting you live. Do you think this is the way that the God that we've been studying about wants things to run? That's how He wants us to trust Him?
No, that's not the way. Because Jesus in here, He said that so come to me because He said I am humble.
So we need to ultimately see that, you know, different ways that people portray God a lot of times is wrong, and we get disappointed in that sometimes too. A lot of people leave churches or religions or get disappointed with faith because of the way that they portray by other people. And so the Bible warns us about all of these different things that may come to happen. You know, some people that may think that they really do have the knowledge of who God is, but they don't. And if we don't find out for ourselves, we might be misled too. Let's read who has Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 3. I'll read it. If a prophet arises among you, or a dreamer of dreams, and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder which he tells you comes to pass, and if he says, let us go after other gods, which you have known not to, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or to that dreamer of dreams. And who has 1 Kings 13 through 18, or 13, 15 through 18?
Then he, the old prophet, said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And he, the man of God, said, I may not return with you, or go in with you. Neither will I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, you shall neither eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by the way that you came. And he said to him, I also am a prophet of and an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water, that he lied to him.
Now, this is a story illustrating exactly what Deuteronomy was warning about. There's this young prophet, and God called him out to send a message, and on his way home, he said, go to another way and do not stop. And so this other older prophet came to encounter him and lied openly to him. And later on in the story, we find out that this younger prophet that was actually, you know, being spoken to by God, is deceived, and later on, pretty much massacred by a wild beast. Afterwards, because he was confused about what to listen to. So, what exactly can we trust, right? There's a lot of people out there that say, I have the word of God, and this is what God says, but if we don't go after, or we don't seek that personal relationship with God ourselves to hear his voice ourselves, a lot of times we're going to be misled or confused. Now, Jesus, we have said, and we've been talking about how he was God's son, he is God's son, and how he came to earth to provide evidence of who God is and how he is truly loved, because of how the people were misinterpreting his character. So, did Jesus really bring proof that his way of restoring trust was different than people thought it would be? Was there enough evidence throughout his life of his trustworthy character?
Yes, he did a lot. Just the way God talks, like in business, in some people, always said, just the way God talks, that is like what looks like.
The best proof, I think, was his own life.
Yeah.
The
because I think this is the best way we can prove or we can show some way to someone, right? To the people have to see the result in your own life. And even that, I think Jesus told us. Even
not just dying, but when he was leaving. The way he was leaving. The way he was having the relationship with all the people around him. That was the strongest, the powerful way to show who God is. All the time he was showing love. He was showing how important we are for them. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He was showing that we are family. He teaches them to talk to him and say, Father in heaven, showing that this is a family. He is not someone very different than us. He is really the one who told in the beginning, I'm making you as my image. You are like me. We are not different. Even though I'm the creator, you are not God. But you are part of my family. You are very close. So when we see God in that way, things are different. We are with someone that cares about us. How do you think your daddy is related with you or your mom? The relationship is something close. The closest can be in this world. Nobody cares more about you than your daddy and your mom. So this is how Jesus described him, Father, and the Holy Spirit for us.
Have you think about that for every single detail in earth, we have the way showed up in the Bible? Everything. Situations? Yeah. Have you think about that? Even things we gonna, the relationships, the things they have discovered, or they gonna discover, everything is there. In some way, it's out there in the Bible. So Jesus is all possible. Because of that, he showed the world, in the world, he showed in his own life, in example, and things that he showed the way, if we follow, most likely that you're going to have a good result, a result that you want.
So let's look at an example of a story of when Jesus did show us a way of how he wants us to trust and the things that he provides. Let's look at Luke 24, 15 through 17, 27, 30, and 31. Marcelo, are you with us? I can't hear you. So that he could speak, but.
This is awesome.
Yes, please, read it.
Vanessa,
go ahead.
While they were talking together, you can have out from your own heart, your near and with your
Vanessa, go ahead.
But with your eyes, were kept for recognizing him. And he said to them, what is this conversation which are you hiding each other as you walk? And they you look instead. And beginning with Moses and all the other and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. When he was at the table with them, he looked at the bread and left and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recited.
So what do we see happening in this story? God or Jesus had just resurrected and there was friends who were walking, and they were sad, and they were talking about him and about God. And he came along and started talking with them. So why didn't he reveal himself right away? God, his friends are sad. Why didn't he come up to them already and, hey, I'm back? Why do you think he didn't do that? He has that look in his face. I'm ready for a comment.
For me, the most important reason
always
was God does not want you to be close to him because he is a superhero that can fly, make miracles, and can do very supernatural things. Because we don't need that to be friend of our God. The relationship he wants is the natural one. Because I love him, and why I love him? Because he's a superhero. So always we are looking for superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't really need a superhero in our relationship with God.
We need what?
We need a friend. We need someone that can understand me, can share things with me, I can share my life with him. The most important thing for our lives. We don't need different. This is what we are looking for. Sometimes we don't really understand that this is what we need, but this is the real mistake.
Now, if we look at it that way, sometimes we don't see what we need, but we try to get what we need the fastest way possible, right? We want instant gratification. We want things to be fixed fast. And a lot of times when it comes to the hurt and pain of this world, it's the same way. And I think with religion, that happens too. When it comes to, hey, just have faith and you'll be fine. But as we've been saying, having faith is such a deeper meaning. It's not just to say, hey, it's okay. You actually have to believe what you're saying. You have to believe what you're experiencing, what you're feeling, and you have to trust God. So why so many times do we see these shortcuts being taken? You know, with Jesus himself, from this passage, we see that he took the time to talk to these people, to actually gain their trust while they were talking about these different things in the Bible as they were walking through that road, so that they would trust that he was a person that he was. I think he just revealed himself right there, right away. They would have believed his powers enormously, but they might have not believed that he was the same loving Jesus that they had been seeing and experiencing all that time. Maybe they wouldn't have Marcella, I think you can
hear me. Hello? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right, that's awesome.
Do you have any good ones?
Sometimes I can't hear you guys very well, so I don't know.
Mm. We're talking right now about 24. Still over how when Jesus appeared to be walking on the road and was speaking to them, and he didn't reveal who he was until the very end.
Yeah, I like that part of it because Christ revealed himself from the evidence of Scripture and not based on the authority of who he was.
Yes.
Did you get that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can hear you perfectly.
Because what that means is he didn't need to show himself by the authority of the person who he was, because not that he didn't need to, but he didn't want to, because then the disciples would say, I'm just going to believe everything you say, no matter what, because they noticed that that was Christ. But Christ wanted them to make an intelligent decision based on the evidence of Scripture. That's why the verse says that beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the Scriptures concerning himself. He wanted them to say, you know, based on all the evidence around and not the authority of somebody, we can make the conclusion that Christ was indeed who he said he was. So he didn't need to show himself with power or authority, but he showed himself based on the evidence of Scripture.
That is a powerful statement right there, because sometimes for a lot of times that goes against what we are told in what faith is and what faith should be about. I think that's why a lot of people have a hard time sticking to religion or to faith, because they interpret or they see faith being shoved at them as something unintelligent, as something that does not require evidence, that it should be something instantaneous.
And most of the Christian religions, they have a very big Jewish influence. And what was happening with the Jews was that they were waiting for a king, a powerful king, that comes to the earth and makes them free from the slave way they were living. So they were not waiting for someone like Jesus was.
Yeah. Well, back in the day, example, Egypt, the very first time, you know, the huge encounter of the people of Israel and God, you know, when he was freeing them, why did God have to reveal himself in such a horrible way through the 10 plagues? Because back in those days, the way that people saw, you know, that God was true and powerful was through the way that the subjects, or the people that believed that God, how they lived their lives and how they were blessed. So, what was happening? The people of the supposed true God were slaves, and the people that were worshiping frogs and all these other things of the sun, they were doing great. They were the most powerful nation of that time. And so, God had to be that way because people didn't believe him. And that sometimes is hard for me to understand because it seems like it goes against the whole theory of God is love, so he's not going to hurt those he loves. But I think when we ask him, he will deliver to us what we need. And I think at that time, what all of those people needed was proof. And how did they understand it? Through power.
And something else too, that's, you know, they saw through the power of God, the authority of God, and what God had been wanting to do is not necessarily do that. It's not to say, well, by my power, I'm going to reveal things to you. Because it's very easy, like if God could solve the mess through power, you know, the whole mess that Satan created, when he decided to be like God, he could have done that in an instant because he's infinitely more powerful than anybody. So the reason why he didn't do that primarily is because he wants us to have a better understanding of him through evidence of who he is and not necessarily through the power, but through the other attributes of his character.
Yes, yes. I agree with that. Let's continue reading. Who has Romans 10, 11, 13 through... Oh, did we just read that one?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's read Romans 10 then.
For the scriptures tell us that no one who is in Christ will ever be disappointed. Anyone who calls himself upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how shall they ask him to save them unless they believe in him?
And how can they believe in him if they never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? How welcome are those who come preaching God's good news. Faith comes from listening to this good news, the good news about Christ. Now, we're saying that how do we learn about Christ? We learn about him by hearing about him from other people, by seeing this in action, right? So a lot of times when we're studying the Bible, what we come to encounter is a lot of claims, or, you know, when we go and hear a sermon or when we're hearing different things, it's God is love, God is just, God is this, so you should trust him. But where's all the evidence behind it? A lot of times, that's how we, as adults, that's how we encounter, you know, the message of God. And then when we're going to explain God to a child, what do? We tell them stories. We pick up the stories from the Bible, and we tell it to the children. And they are all excited. But children, with their pure hearts, they accept what they're told, and they're going to trust those that love them and take care of them, correct? They're going to accept that message. But in reality, if we think about it, who are the people that need the most evidence? Us adults, right? So how come we give all the evidence to the kids and we keep all the claims, you know?
Yeah.
How can we change that? Because, again, we're trying to find this instant solution to why we don't trust God, but we're not really seeking the evidence.
Well, that's why you've become like a child.
Yes. It needs to be simple.
So we tell to the children the life of Jesus Christ, the life of other people in the Bible, and when we become adults, older, we forgot this, and we start going to theology.
Even though we come through the Bible or through people's lives, lots of evidences, still sometimes things need to happen with us, and we need to see the evidences through us. And then we start to believe or to trust in whatever. Sometimes.
That was all the time. Sometimes we are open to it. We have to have
an open heart.
An open heart to be able to see any evidence, you know.
Yeah.
If you have absolutely, if you're close to it,
uh-huh.
It can show to you so many times, then you won't see it.
Ah, that's right. Okay. Jesus repreendeu aqueles que dividiam muito para ter fé. Por exemplo, quando Tomé pediu evidência para ter fé, ele não repreendeu por Jesus.
Uhum.
E aquela mulher que procurou Jesus com pouca fé foi bem-aventurada. Ela disse, ó, minha fé é muito pequena,
uhum.
Me ajuda. Deve ser bem-aventurada. Ou seja, Jesus gosta quando as pessoas têm pouca fé. Pequena fé.
That's very good news.
Yeah.
Also, something that I see that we adults do, especially when we become Christians, is like some people, when we do Bible study, what we have is like a collection of key texts, and in a way, we're kind of doing that as we're going through this Bible study because, you know, we're picking and choosing different texts that speak about the topic that we are talking about. But we can't deny the fact that we need to look at the whole story surrounding those key texts. You know, we have to look at the context of where it was coming from and what it was being talked about. And then look at the story, because in the story, that's where we see the character of God, not necessarily in the key text. Like, the Bible can say God is love, but that basically can mean nothing if we don't see proof that God is love throughout the scriptures. So we have to look at the stories, at the evidence, and not just believe that God is love because the Bible says so.
We have to experience and actually see how others experience that. Thank you, Marcelo. Let's continue reading. As Lucien was talking, a lot of the times, how are things going to capture our attention to want to believe or to want to further, you know, look into God's word is seeing all of these things that people are bringing to you, like love and all these things. And when Jesus left,
the earth, he said that he would leave the Holy Spirit here. Because after that encounter he had with those two men and his disciples, then already he said that that was enough time for him to be here on earth. Because now that they had full and complete conviction that he was God, you know, that was enough demonstration of power from his part. And that was kind of getting in the way of their relationship with Jesus. They were starting to trust everything he said because they had full confidence that he was God, and it was getting in the way of their relationship with him because they had too much physical evidence at that time. And so he said, you know, I've had enough time here with you, and so I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit to guide you through these stories, through these encounters, through these things that have already happened and how I have acted with you. And so the Holy Spirit brought with it all of these good things, and we find a list of them in Galatians 5:22. Anybody have that one?
Yeah, I know. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith."
And who has 2 Peter 1:20 and 21?
Me as well. Okay, my friend. That first note is, no one can interpret any prophecy of the scripture by himself. For it was not through any human wise that men prophesied of old. Then they were, but impelled by the Holy Spirit, they spoke the word of God. You must understand this in the first place, that the prophecy in the scripture can be understood through one's own powers. For no prophecy ever originated in the human will, but under the influence of the Holy Spirit, then it spoke for God.
Thank you. So here in these verses, we see that when Jesus left and he left the Holy Spirit to be with us, it was going to guide us to be able to interpret the message that was there for us to see. And so here we see that the Holy Spirit is the guidance that we need so that we can better interpret and we can better look at these evidences that we find in the Bible so that we can truly trust and have faith in God's character. So how does the Holy Spirit work? How do you guys think the Holy Spirit works?
Well, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit makes like a bridge between human beings and God. Because we by ourselves cannot go to God's path. But we do like a transmission. We transmit our thoughts, our needs to God. Because we cannot understand God's thoughts. The Holy Spirit is the mix between us and God. I feel that these things exist with the concept of I feel that I need to know more God, mm-hmm. and I don't know how. Then I ask God, send me your Holy Spirit because I need to know better.
I think also that sometimes we think, you know, well, by saying that we need the Holy Spirit to understand God, that God is incomprehensible, that we can't approach him, that he is different than the Son, that he's different than the Spirit or whatever. But I think the reality of the matter is, you know, because of sin, sin hides our face from the Father. Sin hides our face from God. And God has to veil his glory and, you know, reveal himself through the Son or through the Spirit in different ways. And, you know, the work of the Holy Spirit basically is the work of a helper. You know, he helps us comprehend the ways of the Father because he reveals the truth about God, you know. So a lot of times the Holy Spirit is the tool, not necessarily, you know, because we can comprehend God via the work of the Spirit, you know, the work that he does in our hearts and in our minds, but not necessarily that God, you know, is somewhere out there that we can't touch him or we can't reach him, that he's different than, you know, than the Son or different than the Spirit, because they're all one, they're all the same, and they're all love, and they're all for us, you know.
Amen.
was there showing three persons.
And this is good for me when it's about the relationship I have with them.
I like that because, you know, as we described a few weeks ago, what love is not something that starts in me and ends in me. So if God is one and just singular and not one by love, then it's selfishness. It's not love. Because love is something that flows out of me into another person. Like, you know, and you probably talked about this already, but the reason why I'm not there in person is because we just had our little boy. He's part of me, okay? And ever since he was just a little lima bean, you know, a little tiny little guy, I was already loving him because he was from me, you know? And like, we are one through love because the Bible says that, you know, the man and the woman, the husband and the wife, are one because they are, you know, they love each other. Because of that relationship, that intimacy makes them one. And it's the same thing with God. What makes them one is not that they're